ಸಹನೌ ನಂತು ಸವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ. ಆತ್ಮೌಪಮ್ಯೇನ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಆತ್ಮೌಪಮ್ಯೇನ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಸಮಂ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ ಯೋರ್ಜುನ ಸಮಂ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ ಯೋರ್ಜುನ ಸುಖಂ ವಾಯತಿ ವಾ ದುಃಖಂ ಸುಖಂ ವಾಯತಿ ವಾ ದುಃಖಂ ಸಯೋಗಿ ಪರಮೋ ಮತಃ ಸಯೋಗಿ ಪರಮೋ ಮತಃ. ಆತ್ಮೌಪಮ್ಯೇನ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಸಮಂ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ ಯೋರ್ಜುನ ಸುಖಂ ವಾಯತಿ ವಾ ದುಃಖಂ ಸಯೋಗಿ ಪರಮೋ ಮತಃ. ಅರ್ಜುನ ಉವಾಚ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಉವಾಚ ಯೋಯಂ ಯೋಗಸ್ವಯಾ ಪ್ರೋಕ್ತಃ ಯೋಯಂ ಯೋಗಸ್ವಯಾ ಪ್ರೋಕ್ತಃ ಸಾಮ್ಯೇನ ಮಧುಸೂದನ ಸಾಮ್ಯೇನ ಮಧುಸೂದನ ಏತಸ್ಯಾಹಂ ನ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ಏತಸ್ಯಾಹಂ ನ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ಚಂಚಲತ್ವಾಸ್ಥಿತಿಸ್ಥಿರಾಂ ಚಂಚಲತ್ವಾಸ್ಥಿತಿಸ್ಥಿರಾಂ. ಅರ್ಜುನ ಉವಾಚ ಯೋಯಂ ಯೋಗಸ್ವಯಾ ಪ್ರೋಕ್ತಃ ಸಾಮ್ಯೇನ ಮಧುಸೂದನ ಏತಸ್ಯಾಹಂ ನ ಪಶ್ಯಾಮಿ ಚಂಚಲತ್ವಾಸ್ಥಿತಿಸ್ಥಿರಾಂ. ಚಂಚಲಂ ಹಿ ಮನಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚಂಚಲಂ ಹಿ ಮನಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ರಮಾತಿ ಬಲವದೃಢಂ ರಮಾತಿ ಬಲವದೃಢಂ ತಸ್ಯಾಹಂ ನಿಗ್ರಹಂ ಮನ್ಯೇ ತಸ್ಯಾಹಂ ನಿಗ್ರಹಂ ಮನ್ಯೇ. ವಾಯೋರಿವಸು ದುಷ್ಕರಂ ವಾಯೋರಿವಸು ದುಷ್ಕರಂ ಚಂಚಲಂ ಹಿ ಮನಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ರಮಾತಿ ಬಲವದೃಢಂ ತಸ್ಯಾಹಂ ನಿಗ್ರಹಂ ಮನ್ಯೇ ವಾಯೋರಿವಸು ದುಷ್ಕರಂ. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನುವಾಚ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನುವಾಚ ಅಸಂಶಯಂ ಮಹಾಬಾಹೋ ಅಸಂಶಯಂ ಮಹಾಬಾಹೋ ಮನೋ ದುರ್ನಿಗ್ರಹಂ ಚಲಂ ಮನೋ ದುರ್ನಿಗ್ರಹಂ ಚಲಂ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಸುಖಂ ಧೇಯ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಸುಖಂ ಧೇಯ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯೇನ ಚ ಕೃತ್ಯತೆ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯೇನ ಚ ಕೃತ್ಯತೆ. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನುವಾಚ ಅಸಂಶಯಂ ಮಹಾಬಾಹೋ ಮನೋ ದುರ್ನಿಗ್ರಹಂ ಚಲಂ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಸುಖಂ ಧೇಯ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯೇನ ಚ ಕೃತ್ಯತೆ. ಅಸಂಯತಾತ್ಮನಾ ಯೋಗಃ ಅಸಂಯತಾತ್ಮನಾ ಯೋಗಃ ದುಷ್ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯ ಇತಿ ಮೇ ಮತಿಃ ದುಷ್ಪ್ರಾಪ್ಯ ಇತಿ ಮೇ ಮತಿಃ ವಶ್ಯಾತ್ಮನಾ ತು ಯತಥಾ ವಶ್ಯಾತ್ಮನಾ ತು ಯತಥಾ ಶಕ್ಯೋ ವಾಪ್ತುಮುಪಾಯತಃ ಶಕ್ಯೋ ವಾಪ್ತುಮುಪಾಯತಃ ಅಸಂಯತಾತ್ಮನಾ ಯೋಗಃ ದುಷ್ಪ್ರಾಪಯಿತಿ ಮೇ ಮತಿಃ ವಶ್ಯಾತ್ಮನಾ ತು ಯತಥಾ ಶಕ್ಯೋ ವಾಪ್ತುಮುಪಾಯತಃ. Krishna was addressing the tenth of development in the last few verses that we saw in the sixth chapter. The person is first extremely materialistic. He or she thinks that the happiness that one is searching for in life is in the external world. As long as an iota of doubt is there in you that there is some sukha, there is some happiness in the external world, your mind will not turn towards the self. Take it from here. As long as our mind thinks or doubts, maybe there is some happiness in the external world. Our spiritual journey has not actually started. Right? We can go to any number of gurus, we can read any number of books. All the books will be saying this, like we have seen already in the third chapter, in the second chapter he said that Mata Pashastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukadukadaha Adama Payinaha Anityaha Tam Tisha Swabharata. He said these are all Anitya Sukha. Anitya Sukha means what? That means comes and goes. Comes and goes. Anitya Sukha. Yet he would look forward for Nitya Sukha in that second chapter chale gaye. Then fifth chapter again. Fifth chapter is that contact born enjoyments are dukkha yo nayaha. They are all wounds of sorrow. We will read that. We will come to sixth chapter. Still, we will continue. It's not that easy. Because old habits don't die that easily. And also, not to criticize, it's not criticizing, but the mind is that. It doesn't leave it that easily. Also the thing is, about self we don't know anything. We are going on reading, but we don't know what that self is all about. But in front of us the objects are there, and when we contact we do get instant pleasure. So, we don't know anything else. That is the problem, that is the trouble we have. So, once you even have Shraddha in the words of the Guru, first of all the word Shraddha means what? Faith in the word of the Master. When you read Bhagavad Gita, many things that he says is making sense. But when he says that there is no sukha in the external world, I'm not able to understand that. So what I do is, when he is saying so many things which are true, and I could experiment it in my life and realize that, this also I take. But that alone will not help me. What do I have to do? I have to follow sadhana. We have physical body, mind, intellect. These are the three equipments we have. Enlivened by the pure consciousness or Atma. Right? So with the body, we have to do two sadhanas. One is Hatha Yoga. The other is Karma Yoga. Then the third, with reference to your mind, is Bhakti Yoga. Firstly, Karma Yoga will reduce the bulk of your desires. Extroverted mind needs to be turned introverted. So through Karma Yoga you reduce the quantum of your desires. Then improve the quality of your desires through Bhakti Yoga. You develop desires to study the scripture, you develop desire to listen to Bhagavatam, Puranic stories. You know such desires, they are also desires. But it is different kind of desire. So qualitatively different kind of a desire. So you improve the quality of the desires through Bhakti Yoga. Then through Jnana Yoga, you give a direction, higher direction to your thoughts and desires. Right? So, Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, all these yogas from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, I practice according to my capacity. But I have to be consistent. And in between, if I gave up the sadhana for whatever reason, I would not fall down like a lead plate, I will fall down like a rubber ball. A rubber ball will bounce back. A lead plate will stay put. Doesn't matter in between for whatever reason, I did not practice sadhana. Doesn't matter. Don't have to feel guilty. Now, continue. That's what we do. We take care of the quantum quality and we set a right direction in life. As we do this, our mind comes to withdraw. We understand slowly, slowly, the sukham that we get in the outside world is anitya. Then we want to get that nitya sukha. So the mind will be able to go into these kind of things better and better. Into a larger canvas, mind will start concentrating. What we call as dharana. So from Karma Bhakti Jnana Yoga, the mind goes to a mental withdrawal state called Uparati, where you are without the objects of the world, you are enjoying within Uparati. Now, Kona Chahiye, I am able to study Gita when the AC is on. which is fine, which is better, right? But there will come a time whether the AC is on or not, I'm not bothered. My mind is reveling in Gita. Then such a withdrawal state, what we call as renunciation, you achieve. The mind is not free of world, the worldly things and beings. Then you go into dharana. Larger converts you are able to concentrate. Larger converts of atma, you are able to concentrate and do better sadhana. Then you can do concentrated concentration called as meditation. Right? So you prepare. So in this chapter he talked about external and internal disciplines. All that you follow, then you come to the state of meditation. And through meditation, you reach samadhi. So, tat yoga, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, then uparati, then dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Through dhyana you come to samadhi. Once you attain samadhi, how do you know whether you attain samadhi or not? To what extent have you attained some development? The test of development he talks about, first thing he talks about is oneness. Because what is this centralization all about? Stopping to identify with the material layers and beginning to identify with the Atma within. When I look at everybody from the point of view of the body, then they are products. They are there for me to contact and injure. But chitna hi, possessiveness, all that is there, attachment. So from body I go to mind. Then from mind I go to intellect. Still I will be seeing differences. Right? If at intellectual level I attain the idea of Vedanta, and then also Advaita Vedanta, then I identify with all those who are practicing Advaita Vedanta. Not necessarily going through Advaita Vedanta through Vedanta Academy, which I represent. They may be going through Advaita Vedanta through some other institute, but they are also Advaita Vedanta. So, to that extent I will identify. Anybody who is other than that Advaita Vedanta, if he is somebody who is talking about Dvaita, stop. You understand? So, at the body level, mind level, intellect level, also I identify with a very smaller group. The moment I go to Atma, the pure consciousness, it is the consciousness that is in me, same consciousness in you and within each other. So, the moment I identify with consciousness, I start seeing oneness. Samatvam. Right? And that, after that identification with consciousness, doesn't matter whatever be my mode of living, I would still not lose that awareness. It is 24/7, 365 days throughout life. I may be in yoga, not in yoga, I will never lose the awareness. I don't require any reminder to tell me that I am Atma and not the body, mind, intellect. Thereafter, I may be having bodily transactions or emotional transactions or intellectual transactions, but I will never get lost in those transactions. In other case, how long the transaction lasts? Very few minutes. If it's minutes also we are lucky, that means we have done some good amount of sadhana. Few seconds, by the time you get involved and get lost. So such a person, whatever the mode of living, is established, thereafter he doesn't lose his awareness. And not only that, and while transacting, he may go through joy, he may go through sorrow. But the joy and sorrow doesn't throw him out of balance. He remains ever in balance. We may be able to see samatvam in two people other than us. But in comparison to us, am I able to see that samatvam? I must understand samatvam from a practical point of view is not. It is not as if I am perfect. Every time I am complaining, I must ask myself, am I complaining as though I am perfect? There are a lot of imperfections in me. And if I focus on improving my imperfections within, will I have time to sit and talk about others' imperfections? So if I have so much time to sit and talk about others' imperfections, that means I am definitely not focusing on myself and on improving myself. Are you with me? Swami Ramakrishna, one of the fabulous saints this country has ever produced, in a book, in fact he is not reading the book, somebody, you know, collected his lectures and published it. The front page to be written, wanted reforms, not of others, but of themselves. And one of the most famous statements of Ramakrishna is, lecture to yourself, not to others. Lecture to yourself, not to others. Every time I begin the class, I remember him and he's saying, this is for your self-development that you use. Not to do any reforming to anybody. After giving, you will be surprised. I think it's 63rd verse of chapter 18, if I remember the verse correctly. The Gita actually, Lord Krishna started giving in the 11th verse of chapter 2. From there he gives, so logically explains everything step by step to Arjuna. Then in the 63rd verse of chapter 18, he says, Yata Ishyasi Tata Puru. Means you do what you like. I have said everything what I have to say. Now he says, the knowledge has been given to you. In between he says one thing, the knowledge has been given to you. Now you reflect on it fully. Now you reflect on it fully. Having reflected on it fully, then you do what you think is right. So, after talking so much, Krishna is saying, you will sometimes do only what you like. Our chances are going to be. So he says, come to the next lecture to us. You are not here to perform anything. So when I understand that, when I see samatvam, I am seeing imperfection in somebody. Then what do? Immediately I see, I am also having so much of imperfection. And I am struggling to perfect myself. In spite of the Gita knowledge and studying and sadhana and trying, still I am not able to perfect myself. But that is his chance. The moment I see it that way, instantly I have reached a kind of knowledge. I will not criticize him. I will empathize with him. Empathizing with him, whatever actions needed to be done in the context to correct the situation, I will do. But I will not be critical. So it is Atmau Pramyena Sarvatra. Identifying with Atma, he functions always. He through the likeness of the self, O Arjuna, sees equality everywhere through joy and sorrow. Joyful situation and sorrowful situation, he only sees equality. He understands he is also Atma, and unfortunately he doesn't know that. As a result of that, he is looking at me from the point of view of the body, therefore he is criticizing me. If he only knows that he is Atma, he would see me also from the Atma level, then he will be able to see the oneness, then he will not be criticizing. Why is he criticizing? Out of ignorance. That is why throughout the Gita, in fact all scriptures, the masters call all of us in one word. Do you know what that word is? Balaha. Balaha means children. Some are just born children, some are grown-up children. But for them, everybody is Balaha. So Atmau Pamyena Sarvatra Samam Pashyati Arjuna. Yaha Arjuna Sugamva Yadi Vadhuna Sayogi Paramo Mana. Let him face joy or sorrow, he maintains that balance. He talked about this samatvam. Now Arjuna gets a doubt. This shows that Arjuna is following. Right? So he asks a question. Last week, the 12th of July was the Guru Purnima day. Do you know what is Guru Purnima day basically? Sage Vyasa's birthday. Who is Sage Vyasa? Who compiled the entire Mahabharata, of which Gita is part. 100,000 verses is Mahabharata. 701 verses Gita. It was painstakingly, still that is a tremendous effort. He maintained, he compiled it for us. Neither are generalized for, he doesn't require us. He did it for our sake, for posterity. And he also gave us Brahma Sutra, one of the highest intellectual compositions. Brahma Sutra. Bhagavad Gita we are struggling. Brahma Sutra is a real compromise. You know, when you go to Upanishad, you know. They don't compromise. You can't do jnana, follow karma. He doesn't wait. He said that and gone. You will ask what karma. He doesn't answer all that. For them, karma means only selfless karma. They know. They don't know anything called selfish karma. You understand? That level. Then Bhagavad Gita is given. Diluted. Lots of explanation. But also we are trying to understand. Right? So, this Arjuna gets it down. Here. So talking about this samatva mind, is it possible? He raises that question. So to that same Vyasa who gave us Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutra, and he also gave us Puranas, right? Bhagavatam, such a sage, on his birthday, we salute the entire Guru Shishya Parampara. According to me, on that day of Guru Purnima, one important question we must ask ourselves. What is that? Have I become a Shishya? Yet. For it to me, that is the most sensible question. Because we have already gone through 4th chapter. 34th verse of 4th chapter, very famous verse. Tadvipi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upavekshanti te jnana jnanina sattva darshina. Learn that, know that, that with thee from the master. Pranipatena, prostration, devotion. Pariprashnena through question. Sevaya through service. If you have these qualities, then upadeshanti te jnanam jnanina sattva darshinaha. One who is himself a jnani, who is established in the knowledge, will seek you, will come to you and teach you. Meaning what? We can never identify a guru. How can finite identify infinity? Isn't that ego? How to select a guru? Lot of people ask. How can you select a guru? I'm telling you, we have grown up with the cultural upbringing in India, even today, that Krishna is God. Because of that, everything in it will accept. Other fellows who did not, grow up in that kind of a culture, for them, this person you worship is Krishna. You understand? If you read Jesus Christ's life, it's complete contrast to Krishna's life. Or Ram for that matter, complete contrast to Krishna's life. And this person is worshipping. And this person's lecture is listening. One person asked me actually, he said, in LA after the lecture, he asked, this man, Krishna, according to him, advocated Arjuna to kill people. When Arjuna didn't want to kill. Right? The whole thing is, Arjuna at the beginning said, I don't want to fight and all that. So he says Arjuna didn't want to fight and kill people. And Krishna coaxed him to fight and kill people. So many people died. And such a person's philosophy you all want to study. He is asking. I would not blame him. I have to explain those certain things. Now, I am not going into details. But what we need to understand here is, you think you can understand Krishna? You think we can select a guru? Think about it. A child can never understand why the mother is saying no. I want to watch TV, please allow me. I want to have this ice cream, please allow me. And the mother is lukewarm, and the child is not understanding. Child can never understand, and the mother will never get angry with the child. But she will not. Similarly, do you think we can select a guru? Huh? All we need to do is, we have to make ourselves a shishya. Where there is a demand, there is a supply. If you haven't found the guru, you haven't had the demand yet. Vidupadeshyanti ke jnanam jnanina sattva darshinaha. Till Arjuna surrendered, Krishna did not speak. Krishna was just a friend. He became a guru only when he showed the sign of a shishya. Knowledge is never given, it is taken. Remember this. Knowledge is never given, it is taken. So you got to draw it. Arjuna drew the knowledge from Krishna by questions. So Arjuna became a disciple and he asked the question here again. He intercepts. When Lord Krishna said this about Samatvam in the 6th chapter, he intercepts and asks a question. The prashna with the devotion. The questioning will have to be with devotion. Then the guru will answer the question. And then the guru can come in any form. The answer will come from your subconscious. But all the answers are there inside you. In fact, in our tradition, this is said in the 17th chapter, also in the 18th chapter, Lord Krishna talks about, again in the 18th chapter, I think 67 or 68 verse. He says, don't teach a fellow, don't teach this knowledge which I gave you to a fellow who doesn't have Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. And don't teach a fellow who is cavilling and finding fault. Don't teach a fellow who doesn't have proper attitude, etc., etc. And in 17th chapter he says, the tamasic fellow will do yajna without offering. And, you know, like that he goes on. And in that he says, in 17th chapter he talks about dakshana. You know, he says, you do a shraad ceremony, you do dakshana to the priest. Can you tell me, what is this dakshana concept is all about? Guru Dakshana. I need Dakshana for the night. Why do you do that?
To be sure you are gratitude.
For what?
He gave you Jnana.
That he gave you Jnana. Anybody else?
No, so you ask me to rent some sort of obligation.
Huh?
To rent some sort of obligation.
To prevent some sort of obligation. Interesting. It's a very interesting thing. Really, I've heard this also. I've heard this. It's like I've taken something from him, I've given, so I don't have any indebtedness. I want that karma, you know. That sort of a thing.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What else?
Gratitude.
Gratitude for what?
For giving the money.
For the knowledge. It's a gratitude, it's a humility, it's a sort of a pranam that is to.
This is a very, very interesting concept. I'm talking about it because it's Guru Purnima week, it is our obligation to say salutations to our gurus, without whom we will be nothing. And this is a very, very unique Indian concept, or Eastern concept, I would say. West is very, they don't understand. It's very difficult. Even after studying, it becomes difficult. Mahatma Gandhiji once said, be grateful to the person to whom you serve, because he gave you opportunity to serve. This can only come from an Indian mind or an Eastern mind. Think about it. What is he saying? What you said is, be grateful to the person who gave you knowledge. What he is saying here is, you must serve the fellow and be grateful to the fellow whom you serve, because he gave you an opportunity to serve. Here, in the case of Guru, we also call Krishna as one who steals. Na? What does he steal?
The Guru steals your ignorance. Guru actually takes from you.
Please understand. Guru never gives you anything because he knows he cannot give Atma to you. You are already Atma. Please change your understanding. You are already Atma. You are not somebody else. But you are out of ignorance thinking yourself to be somebody else. All that the Guru does is, he robs your ignorance. He takes away the ignorance. And you say, for taking my ignorance, I...
Thank you.
Thank you. What a beautiful feeling. That is true feeling. And really speaking, the best darshana that you can give to Guru is, you realize this. Nothing else is interested. Nothing else can do anything to him. You put so much of water into ocean, will it make any difference to ocean? You remove so much of water from ocean, will it make any difference? It's paripurna. There's a verse in the Gita that says, Apurya Mahana Madala Pradeshtam Samudra Mapa Pradeshtam. There, nothing will happen to Guru. So you have to have that devotion and question. Arjuna questions with devotion. Let us see what that question. Many, many questions Arjuna asks. Thanks to Arjuna, we get clarified. Right? I think it's Confucius who said, when you ask a question, you may be a fool for that day. You may be seen as a fool for that day or for that moment. But if you don't ask the question, you will remain a fool forever. So a lot of people think, if some people privately come and ask me a question before that question. I mean, I can understand if it's some personal thing, I can understand that. In the class, what is the big deal? No, it's a very silly question. There is nothing silly. If you don't ask the question, you will remain silly forever. There is no question which is silly. In fact, sometimes we wonder, we'll say we are a PhD, sometimes simple thing we may not know in life. So why, in fact, you should become shapeless when you have to ask questions? Can you grow? So Arjuna is asking a question, let us see what it is.
अर्जुन उवाच योयम् योगत्वया प्रोक्तः योयम् योगत्वया प्रोक्तः साकेन मधुसूदन एतद्याहं न पश्यामि चञ्चलत्वास्तिराम् अर्जुन उवाच योयम् योगत्वया प्रोक्तः साकेन मधुसूदन एतद्याहं न पश्यामि चञ्चलत्वास्तिराम्
Arjuna asked a question to Lord Krishna. Oh, Madhusudana, he addresses Lord Krishna as Madhusudana. Madhu means what? Honey. Madhusudana means? Killer of demon whose name was Madhu. Right. The real demon in you is honey, is what?
Your
ego. Your mind. Everything in somebody talks very sweetly to you, very nice. He's my friend. Thought friend. Not just friend, friend. Friend. Somebody who tells you what is good for you, which may not be pleasant to your ears. I hate you. Cut you. Sexual. You understand? So Madhusudana, you are a killer of demon Madhu.
Oh Krishna, this yoga of equanimity taught by you.
Yoyam yoga svaya prokta samyena Madhusudana. Oh Madhusudana, oh Krishna, this yoga of equanimity, tranquility, balance of mind that is taught by you, I do not see its enduring stability owing to restless nature of the mind. Chanchala twat nidva, mind is what? Chanchala astira chanchala. That is mind. Everybody's mind is that. Mind is compared to monkey. Mind is compared to fire. Any amount of ghee you pour into fire, it will want more. It will consume that and it will want more. It will consume the whole city and it will wait for the country to be consumed. Mind never is satiated. Also, mind never stays in one place. Astira and chanchala. That is our mind. It wanders, it wavers, it roams around, it goes here and there every day, never stays in one place. So it is owing to its nature of being restless. I am not able to understand, Krishna, how to bring that to a stable condition. I may bring it. Temporarily it may be stable for a while. After that, what will it do? It's like you bring a child to this class. And 2 minutes, and after some time, you lose him. Can I go there? Or if I want to put the leg there, mind is like that. Mind is exactly like the chest. It cannot stay put in one place. You understand? This, how are you telling Krishna? I am not able to understand how one can bring it to stability. Isn't this the nature of the mind? He's clarifying. Meaning he wants Krishna to throw more light on how it can be brought to stable condition, number one. Even if you out of struggle somehow going to stable condition, will it remain stable forever? Swami Ramtita uses the example of a pencil. And the same thing Swamiji explains in Vedanta Treatise book with the example of a comb.
Example of what?
Comb. The top of the pencil, after it has been sharpened, it looks like a comb. You know? You can keep your pencil like this with a base, right? With a base. But can you keep it with the tip pulled up?
No.
Like a cone also cannot stand on its apex. Why? It requires a lot of support for it to stand. Another thing is, if you keep the cone on its side, it will stay. But if you give a tap, it will oscillate. But if you keep a cone on its base, it will stand. Right? The third condition of the mind we don't know. We call it as restless condition of the mind, number one. Number two, imperfect condition of the mind. Third is perfect condition of the mind. The perfect condition of the mind we don't know. We only read in scriptures. Or we read about some people in their life histories. We have not seen. Temporarily is calm. But somebody called. You know what he said about you, like this he said. Or when SMS came or WhatsApp, or you have all possible methods of somebody contacting and irritating you. Earlier there was only one phone at home. At home there was one landline. And if you were not at home, they tried you 2-3 times. And then chale gaye. At least you escaped.
Now no one came.
Then came pager. Wherever you were, they were able to page you. Then came this mobile phone. Now in the mobile phone also you put something to the internet mode and all. Now WhatsApp and I don't know, all sorts of things are there. You have so many equipment for them to tell you what somebody said something about you.
Yes.
Right? This is unnecessary. Anyway, I'm not saying it's necessary or necessary, it's up to you. But the thing is, now once they said something, and that also, they were passing by and they heard. It's a typical Indian masala. They'll put it, and now they've given a tap to your phone. Starts oscillating. And the oscillation can be like Desdemona's case. She was a very good lady. She was not a selfish lady. Desdemona in Othello, the character, is one of the fascinating characters portrayed by Shakespeare. When he says, when he talks about her, he says, she found vice in her virtue for not having given more than what was hers. She found vice in her virtue for not having given more than what was hers. That was her character. And Othello uses a foul language against her. And she's not taking it. She says, am I that name Iago? Am I that name Tap over your way? That's what I'm coming to. Am I that name? Am I that name? You are not the phone that is resting on its apex, maybe, but you may be the phone that is resting on its side. Now Krishna is talking about bringing the cone to rest on its base. How to do that? The roots need to be strengthened. Once the roots are strong, then the tree, nothing happens. Right? But if the roots are not strong, then what happens to the tree? It can be uprooted. So Arjuna is asking, I am not able to understand, is it really possible to bring the mind to a stable condition? And he gives further explanation about mind which he has read about and heard about. What sort of mind? He goes into little more details in the next verse. Chanchalam hi manat Krishna, chanchalam hi manat Krishna, ramati bala vatridam, tasyaham nigraham manye, tasyaham nigraham manye. Vayorivas dushkaram, vayorivas dushkaram, chanchalam hi manat Krishna, pramati bala vatridam, tasya amnigraham manye, vayorivas dushkaram. The mind, verily, O Krishna, is restless, chanchalam hi manat Krishna. Mind, he means indeed, verily. Mind indeed is verily restless, O Krishna. And not just restless, turbulent, pramati. It comes from the root, mat, means what? Chal, turbulent. Mind is turbulent. Duryodhan went to that palace when they invited him. The Pandavas invited him. It was a palace full of, magic, illusion, right? And where there is water, it won't appear as water. Where there is no water, it will appear as water, like that. So when he sat down, Draupadi laughed. What happened? Mahabharata Guru. Please understand. In fact, many of the big problems would have started with a small trigger like this. Julius Caesar is there, all of it is come. See, did you? And then because of that, how dare you be? Looking at me, on the fight starts, everybody, so many problems have. Then they are, finally, excuse me, let's find the cause. This fellow started, he bit his thumb. So they go and ask, did you bite your thumb? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I bit my thumb, sir, but not at you, sir. I was in a mood to chew my thumb, maybe. Why do you think I was doing that at you? Yeah. Yes, sir. I bit my thumb, sir, but not at you, sir. The whole thing. And it's such a turbulent mind. Mind is turbulent. It turns you, somebody says something, and then 1 hour you are talking to yourself. It turns, isn't it? It turns your organ of speech, it turns your organ of Arjuna, and then you will take care whether if anybody is looking at you or not, and then you quietly. You understand? Nowadays you have to be careful. You think the fellow is disturbed, but not necessarily. He is keeping Bluetooth. It actually happened in Abu Dhabi. I was going on the Cornish walk. From about 300, 400 meters away, a fellow was coming from the opposite direction. Extremely animated. Like that person. I really seriously thought he was a mad guy, you know. Seriously thought, poor fellow, maybe disturbed him. And he came closer and closer, the voice louder. Then when I got closer, I saw he has a Bluetooth session. He's actually talking on the phone. But without Bluetooth, we talk to ourselves. What is that? It is killing your personality. Thereafter, your hands start trembling. Have you seen when people get angry? Hands start trembling. They can't hold a glass cup. They're disturbed. Ramadhi. Chant the whole thing. Chanchalam Pramadhi. Then Balavat, it is strong, it approves. Right? It is said about Duryodhana. He has a lot of good qualities, but he has one quality called jealousy. That finished the whole thing. How many people have to die strong? And it obstinate, it clings on. It will not leave it. Rid up, it is very strong, obstinately clings on. Till you perish, do not leave. Interestingly, Krishna is not giving his definition. Arjuna has been giving his definitions of the mind. How many people went and spoke to Ravana? He couldn't listen. You understand? He wouldn't listen. Kumbhakarna spoke, or before that, Vibhishan spoke, Kumbhakarna. Duryodhana. Krishna himself went as an emissary. He tried to capture it. You become closed shutters there. Obstinate. You are like, I think one of the most fabulous way of putting it is a poem. The mother bird had cautioned the chick. You can go and play with the ducklings. And the chick asked, I see these ducklings playing around the pond with the, you know, there. I would like to befriend them and play with them. Is it okay? So mother bird says, okay, go play with them, but don't enter the pond when they enter. The ducklings, they go and play, they go inside the water, they show off, you know, so much of showing off it. So the chick gets tempted. So it started reasoning. And there is reason. In fact, first thing it sees is feet, my feet, then it realizes. Actually it can't see because it has no webbed feet. Whereas ducklings have webbed feet. It sees it and rejects it. Can't be feet. Then finally come to the beak. My beaks are pounded, their beaks are down. Is that any reason why I should be drowned? Beak, what is it got to do? Nothing. Then it says what it says. That is the most fascinating story. It says, I am really remarkably fond of water. If you have reached that state, you have reached a state of purity. All of us, unknowingly, unconsciously, ignorantly, play with our desires. Huh? What happens to the desire? Slowly, slowly, it starts becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. And once it reaches a certain stage, thereafter, you are victim. You don't know what to do. You are just a victim in it. That's what Krishna Arjuna is telling you. This mind is such a restless mind. It doesn't stay in one place. There's so much of desire, passion. It runs. The passion runs. Right? as a result of that humming, it has churned my entire personality, it has become turbulent. And now it's reached a position of strength. I have become weak, like you go in front of Vali in Mahabharata. Vali has a boom. What is the boom? Then if you confront him, anybody confronts him, 50% of your strength will go to him. That is the boom. So like that, when you chase the object of your desire, the desire after a while becomes very strong. It uproots the whole thing. You will say something which uproots the whole family also. Look at the devastation that Duryodhana's mind brought about because of that one obsession. One obsession is enough. Don't need too many obsessions. Just one obsession. Family is a divine. Simple obsession. It is definitely mind will get enchanted. It is mind. It is not asking your mind and my mind will not get enchanted. Mind will get enchanted when it is exposed to the world with certain things. But it is for you to make sure that you don't go with the mind. Once it becomes desirous, once it becomes strong, then you do things abstinently. Thereafter you don't stand a chance with the mind. So this is how it is. I'm really remarkably fond of water. The chick said that I entered the pond, perished. Moth entered, I'm really remarkably fond of light, entered the fire, perishes. I'm really remarkably fond of the bait, fish catches, perishes. Yeah. All of us are like that. Chasing our minds, likes and dislikes, passionate, intensifies our craving. And thereafter what happens is, intellect should give independent judgment, independent decision. But the mind has become so strong that it holds the intellect hostage and the intellect starts justifying mind's demands. Yes sir, no sir, be back to sir, not to others. Intellect will become a?
It converts to that.
Intellect will, instead of asking, is it right independently, it will say, why it is not wrong? Logic will start becoming subservient to the desire. That is how powerful the mind can become if you let it go in that direction. What do we do with children? Pamper the children from childhood days. And the child now becomes like this. It's not the fault of the child. It's our fault, pampering. And we don't know anything else other than pampering. Right? So, Arjuna, to Arjuna, it is said here, the nature of the mind is so strong. How am I going to bring that mind to control? And even if I do, how can it be permanent? Can be only for a while. How can it be permanent? I am not able to say, please throw some more light on it. Actually, the whole philosophy rests on that. Swami Vivekananda says, you conquer the mind, you conquer the world. And he compares the mind to wind. It is like Vayu, he says. Come back. Vayu is very strong. I saw a documentary on, what is that, hurricane. Tornado, hurricane, huh? It's a message. And how long does it last? Few seconds. How long did any of this Catherine or whatever names they've given lasted? Few minutes maybe, few seconds maybe. And then when you visit, the whole thing is approved. The whole thing is gone. Right? Like that, like how wind devastates. Your mind can devastate you. And wind is insubstantial. You try to hold it in your hand. You know, fold your fist tightly. Can you catch the wind in your palms? Yes. Like that, you don't know how to catch the mind. It's insubstantial. Where is the mind? It's interesting. Have you ever asked this question? Where is the mind? Science is asking this question. Where is the mind? There's a DVD that we used to see in the academy called Mysteries of the Mind. If you ask questions about mind, some people get fed up and say, never mind. Right? It is not that. Where is the mind? Have you ever asked this question? Brain is there. The science fellows, they go and touch the body and then say, where is the mind there? Brain is there. Kaha hai mind? You can through inference also come to some conclusion that yes, I have Atma. But what is this thought that you call as mind? The body and Atma coming together, as a result of these two coming together, you see what is called as mind. Very interesting.
Why do you say body and Atma coming together?
When I say body and mind, Atma is then Prakriti and Atma. Prakriti and Purush.
So why is it not just thoughts? Like I would have...
It is thoughts. Mind is nothing but thoughts. I'm not saying it is not thoughts. Let me tell you. It is thoughts. But if you really probe into it, what is this mind? It's very fascinating. And in the second chapter he says, Dhyayato Vishayanti. Everything started off with a thought. Just one thought. Very nice. You went to some other country, you saw something, very nice. Then slowly you thought about it, it began attacking. Oh, mera bhaas. It must become mind. Attachment only. Then becomes desire. Means what? Without it, gone. Like who? Like the father of Bhishma. Santanu, he saw Satyavati, he said, Kadam, attachment ho gaya, desire ho gaya, he wanted to marry her. Satyavati's father said, get lost because of these reasons. And what happened? Depression. This is not just Santanu, this is everybody in life. Everything starts off with a thought. And the thought slowly becomes so strong. Keeping the thought, you go about mobilizing a mob, you come into the mob and the mob goes on rampage. All sudden people, you know, go on developing the thought and a fellow goes in rage. How did he develop that? Thought started off the thought.
How do you control your thought?
That is what Arjuna is asking to Krishna. How do you think this mind can be brought to control? This is the nature of the mind, I've heard. I know from my experience also. Arjuna in a way is saying all this. And you are saying control the mind. Is it that easy? Is it that simple? Is it possible? In a way he is asking that. So, four words he used. What are the four words? Chanchalam, Pramati, Balavat, Dridam. Same mind or desire, Lord Krishna used four words to say that it is your enemy. What are the four words he used in the third chapter? To say that mind is your enemy, desires are your enemy. He used four words. What are the four words he used in the third chapter? வைரினம் நித்திய வைரினம் பரிமந்தினம் சத்ரு.
Because something similar like this, Arjuna asked a question there. He said, I know what is right, what is wrong, but I'm not able to prevent myself from doing what is wrong. I'm not able to bring myself to do what is right. Why is that? And Krishna answers, your likes and dislikes and all that. In that context, Lord Krishna says, these likes and dislikes of yours is vairinam. They are your enemy. Look up to 35th verse. Chapter 3. I don't exactly remember the verses. Last 7 or 8 verses, may you have used this. Vairinam, nitya vairinam means constant enemy. Paripantinam again means enemy. Then shatru means enemy. Vairinam, nitya vairinam, paripantinam. And that same mind, Krishna said, can become your friend in this chapter. Sorry, in this chapter. If your mind is used properly, it is your friend. If not, it becomes your enemy. And then he talks about going beyond the mind and bringing it to total balance. Now Arjuna asks, how is this possible? Do you think it is possible? Then Krishna asks,
श्री भगवान उवाच असंशयं महाबाहो मनो दुर्निग्रहं चलम् अभ्यासेन तु कौन्तेय वैराग्येन च गृह्यते श्रीभगवानुवाच असंशयं महाबाहो मनो दुर्निग्रहं चलम् अभ्यासेन तु कौन्तेय वैराग्येन च गृह्यते
श्रीभगवानुवाच. The Blessed Lord replied to Arjuna's question. First thing he does is accept. This is one of the things that you got to do in communication. Never argue. Straight away you beg to differ. It's fighting goes on. First thing, yes, I agree. The moment you say yes, I agree, 90% cool down. Asamshayam means what? Without doubt. Asamshayam mahabha. Samshayam means doubt. Asamshayam means without doubt. Without doubt, O Arjuna, asamshayam mahabha, O mighty armed. In a way, he's taunting. Look at who's talking. Mighty armed, Guru is talking that it is not possible to tame the mind. You understand? Asamshayam mahabha. And all of us are really Mahabaho. Who? Please understand this. Gross cannot control the subtle. Subtle controls the gross. What is the strength of an elephant and what is the strength of a human being? Physical strength, I'm talking about.
Elephant
is not. Huh? There's no comparison. But you will find one pretty little fellow sitting on top of the elephant and controlling it. What is the power of the horse and what is the power of these jockeys? Jockeys usually are very, very thin. This is after about race horses. That's a race horse. He controls it. He directs it. Are you me? A fellow is so thin. This is so powerful animal. Gross cannot control the subtle. Why this guy has a subtler equipment called the intellect, buddhi, which then he controls the element. The small stick he puts it, it goes this side, puts it that side, it goes that side. Because he has intellect, buddhi. Are you with me? So Krishna says, Asamshayam Mahabaho, without doubt I agree, elephant is strong. That is what it means. Means your mind is sanchala. Pramadi, Balava, Dridam,
I agree to you, but have you forgotten there is something called as buddhi? बुद्धि को अभी तक आप प्रयोग नहीं किया, तो इसलिए वो बहुत वीक है।
फिर असंशय महाबाहो, डाउटलेस द माइंड इज रेस्टलेस एंड डिफिकल्ट टू कंट्रोल महाबाहो, मन दुर्निग्रह छलम, इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट, एग्री, बट इट इज पॉसिबल। हाउ? अभ्यासेन तु वैरागेन। Must remember these two words. What are the two words? Abhyas and Vairag. Rag means what?
Attachment,
running after things restlessly, training. This is Rag. What is Vairag?
Dispassion.
What is dispassion?
No attachment, no indifference.
Who would you call as Viragi?
He's not attached.
He's not attached mentally. Lot of people think Vairagya means I don't want to do anything with it physically.
Oh, he's a great Vairagi. Why? He only sits on the floor. He may be sitting on the floor, but if you check his head, he has 7-story building in his head all the time. Then he is not a Vairagi. Somebody else may be sitting in a 7-story apartment, owning itself to himself, but in his mind, he is Aniketa.
Raja
Janak, Vairagi.
So, Vairagena, then? What's the next one? Abhyasena to Vairagena. Oh, Kaunteya, you can control it. It is possible to be controlled by practice and dispassion. Practice makes you perfect. First time when you learn to drive a car, you think it is an impossible task. Isn't it? And you will be holding the steering so stiffly. And you are sitting on the edge of the seat. And you are holding it so tightly. You think it is an impossible task. Forget it. One day it's like a nightmarish experience for you. How are these people doing it, man? I don't think so, I can do it. But finally, you are able to do it later on. How was it possible? By that. Without sadhana, nothing happens. But with sadhana, everything is possible. But the only problem is we will not be consistent. Without being consistent, as they are, it is not working. And straight away if you think it is not possible, you will not even try. To try, firstly you must understand that it is possible. Otherwise you try. You won't even take a step. Unless you take a step, how will you cover up mind? I don't think that is possible for me. So you want to take step by step, but inside you must understand that it is possible. How it is possible for me? It is possible for me because within me there are things subtler than mind. Don't forget that. Dispassion. How can dispassion come? Dispassion is what? Dispassion is watching it. And to watch it, you got to stand. Where do you stand? Stand in Atma. Read me. 23rd verse of chapter 5, what did he say? Don't allow the mind to become a vega. You remember the word Vega? I told you to note down, 23rd verse of chapter 5. Said mind should not become a Vega. Once it becomes a Vega, khatam. It's like a ball you used to play cricket on top of the terrace and you hit the ball through the stairs and the ball was pumped on the topmost staircase. Then 10, then maybe 50th. If you don't catch in the first or the 10th, 50th is possible. Mind is gone everywhere. What is it? So, God make sure that it doesn't go into Vega. You got to nip it in the bud. The way to bring it back is through witnessing. When you do meditation also, the Guru will tell you, when the mind will go here and there, don't criticize the mind, don't analyze, simply watch. By watching itself, it starts becoming little controlled. Similarly, when you see children doing something, you just look at them. They say, sorry. You know, just look at them, just say, some improper behavior. Sorry. Supposing nearby, look at them. Sorry. I will not go there. Watching. You understand? But to watch, you got to stand somewhere subtler. Where? At the level of Atma. What will help you do that? Shastra. Why? Shastra talk about the subtler aspect in you. There is something called as Buddhi in you. Establish that Buddhi in the Atma. How do you do that? Through daily study, reflection. With the help of Bhakti, sadhana. With the help of Karma Yoga, sadhana. Then what happens? Then your Buddhi gets through this sadhana, through this practice. Abhyas means what? This is Abhyas. What Abhyas? Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Through that what happens? You develop dispassion. Why? Because mind starts getting rooted in the Atma. Then you start looking at it from little distance. When you start looking at it from distance, then the moha reduces. Moha speeds up as you get closer and closer. Thoda dur, if you wait and watch, the moha intensity reduces. When the intensity reduces, then you start seeing things as they are. Which will help you to do Abhyas even better. So Abhyas will bring you dispassion. Dispassion will make you do Abhyas even better, like two pedals of a bicycle. One you press, the other comes up. Other you press, the other comes up. Like that. You got to start with Abhyas. You don't even try. I don't think that's possible. Of course not possible. Because you're not even trying. You're firstly in the heart of heart, you don't believe that it is possible. Right? Once upon a time, 60 overs, if they cross 200 runs, it was considered as if it's some high, very high target. In 2020 now they cross 250, 300 and all that. You understand? Once upon a time, you thought it was impossible. 20 overs, the fellows are crossing 300. Why is it not possible in 50? Abhyas, luckily he restores confidence in Arjuna. It is possible. How? You got to hold on to Abhyasa. What Abhyasa? Yoga Abhyasa. What yoga? Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Now we are doing two things. First, we don't practice yoga sadhana. Secondly, we are constantly in bhoga. Double work, they say in tennis, no? Like that. One is, you don't do sadhana. On top of it, you are indulging. Now, then it's not possible because you are going on sensing the mind. First, little bit of withdrawal and then. Withdrawal? Without that, nothing is possible. You want to sit there and do, mind will say, chalo. You understand? Withdraw, gain knowledge, tackle. Withdraw, gain knowledge, tackle.
With more and more dispassion, it becomes ill.
We'll talk about it a little more immediately.
पूर्णमदपूर्णमिदपूर्णापूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्य सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.
Thank you.